This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're going to continue with our series on Another Helper, the series on the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about Him, teaching about Him, finding out. How many of you learned some things about the Holy Spirit that you didn't know? And it's been interesting. How many of you, and a lot of misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. Some people think of Spirit, and they think of the old English word, Holy Ghost. And so people think of Ghost. And when I think of Ghost, I think of Casper. And because I'm from that era, but, you know, ghost stories, and the idea of ghost is kind of, that's actually an old English word that means guest. And so Holy Spirit, I like to use that. It's a little bit more modern. But Jesus said, here's our text scripture. Jesus said this. He said, I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. And we focused in on that word another, because the word another means another of the same kind. And so as you see Jesus operate, then you see how the Holy Spirit's going to operate. And so Jesus actually told the disciples, He said, your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, I'm not going to send the Holy Spirit. But if I go, He'll come. And so he has become another helper. So we're going to continue. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish. We're not going to finish this tonight. I've got two more sessions in there. So I'm going to talk tonight some more about His role next couple of nights. Wednesday nights, I'm going to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about that aspect of it. So that's something, if you don't know anything about, it'll be good to hear about and let you know what's available to you. A lot of times what you're not up on, you're down on. You ever heard that phrase? If you're not up on something, you're down on it. Joy was pregnant with our first child. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was in Bible school. Joy came in the house one day. She said, man, I found something that's really good. She's pregnant, so almost everything was good to her. But she said, man, I really found something that's good. I said, what is it? She said, it's frozen yogurt. So I realize this is going to date you. So we're going back to 1982, when I'm thinking of yogurt, I'm thinking of how yogurt used to be. Remember yogurt, the sour stuff that if you didn't mix it up real good, it was nasty. If you missed that era, you just missed it. That era left with 8 tracks and 3 channels. Okay, so bear with me just for a moment. So yogurt was kind of nasty. The only people ate yogurt were people on a diet and really needed to lose weight, and that wasn't me. And so I said, I'm not interested in that. She said, oh no, you got to taste this stuff. She said, it tastes really good. So there was a frozen yogurt. I think a TCBY. So I look like a commercial, man. I walk in there. They gave me a taste of that. I looked over at Joy. I said, this isn't yogurt. And a la TCBY. So that's where it came from. And so I had already had a conception in my mind that yogurt tastes nasty. Now I found out that yogurt tastes like chocolate ice cream. And I'm like, I'm all in, baby. This is good stuff right here. I'm liking this. But if I'd stayed with my preconception, I would have missed out on frozen yogurt. And so we've enjoyed frozen yogurt for years and still like it and still enjoy it. But my point is this. If your preconceptions about the Holy Spirit are negative or it's weird or it's not for me, then you can miss out on something that could really help you. And let me phrase that differently. You can miss out on someone who can really help you and help your life. And so over the years, Joe and I have talked about the fact that we could have never done this church without the Holy Spirit's help. Impossible. Couldn't have done it. So let's pray, and then we're going to continue our series and talk a little bit more about His role tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. You have always been gracious to us and kind. You help us, You teach us, You lead us. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Father, that He is the teacher, the one who reveals and uncovers and teaches and shows us. And tonight, Father, I just ask that You would speak through me, that You would use me to bring words that bring life and insight, enlightenment. And Father, give us all hearts to hear, minds that are open. And Father, a willingness to do and put into practice what You say, because then we're blessed, because it's the doers of Your word who are the blessed in life. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to recap as much this week because I've got some ground to cover. So let's talk about how the Holy Spirit works in line with the early church. I will mention a passage we talked about last week. He always provides help in line with God's Word. And so people say sometimes they have blamed things on the Holy Spirit that are just completely contrary to the Word of God, and that's not true. He's always in line with God's Word. He's not going to do something different from God's Word. But let's look at a couple of things. He provided help in working with people. Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 19 and 20. I've got a lot of scriptures tonight I want to show you. Acts 10, 19 through 20 says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So he provided help in working with these people. In other words, he told Peter, go with these guys. These guys, I have sent them. And so we find out that actually the Holy Spirit can give you insight as to what kind of people to work with. We talked last week about hiring. I always pray and ask God for His wisdom in hiring decisions. And when I do that and follow that, boy, it surely works out better. But He can, and the reason I'm sharing that is because if the Holy Spirit hadn't changed, if He can do that then, He can do that now. And that's one thing we have to be careful when you read the Bible that you don't read it and go, well, that was then. God hasn't changed. Culture's changed. Fads change. Things change. God doesn't change. Spiritual things don't change. And so we change as a people, but spiritual things don't change. And so when you see these things and realize, well, all that passed away. There's no scripture for all that passed away. God, the day of miracles is over. No scripture for that because the God of miracles is still working. And we've got plenty of people who can testify that He still does miracles. We've got people sitting here tonight who've been healed of cancer and healed of diseases and healed of things. And God has delivered and set free. And a lot of us, just quick show of hands. Anybody got a testimony that God has done something miraculous in your life? And you see the hands. So He still does it. Say, well, He hasn't done it for me. Well, just hang on in there. You want to stay around. So He helps with people. Here's another one, another way He helps. He helps with guidance. Acts 16, 6 through 8. Now, this is a big topic. This is a great way when people say, I need guidance. This is a passage I will refer to that helps people. Now, when they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, this is Paul and his staff, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So you catch that. Paul was going into different areas to preach the gospel. And as he was going in, he said the Spirit stopped him, forbid him, checked him. Now, we don't know necessarily how he stopped him, but I don't think he stood up in front of him with a stop sign. Usually, as you become more familiar with him, you begin to recognize, and we call it today, we call it a hunch. But you might just get a check. Have you ever started going in a direction and you just felt like, man, this feels wrong? And you feel like, man, I just don't have a, here's a phrase we use, I don't have a peace about this. Right. And so you start going in a direction. Now, people often ask me, they say, Alan, I'm praying about this, I'm praying about direction. I like this verse. And I like this verse because I feel like it's very helpful. I will encourage people to start to first pray about it, but start moving in a direction. And then if they get a check or a witness, then you can stop. But the idea is oftentimes people just get rigid and they won't do anything. People say, you know, man, I'm looking for a job. Great. Have you putting out resumes? No. Talking to any headhunters? No. What are you doing? And I'm believing God for a job. I'm going to help you. Get out there and look. And as you look, chances are, you may come to one. You might go, oh, you know what? Seems like a good job, but I don't have a peace about it. Well, didn't it go that way? But start moving. And so Paul was moving. So I always encourage people: at least put something in motion. It's hard to steer a parked bicycle. Ever just seen a bicycle that's stationary? You need to be moving. So in life, you're looking for things. Start seek, and you'll find. So start moving in that direction. So the Holy Spirit finally came to Paul and he had a vision that night and a man said, come to Macedonia. So they knew to go there. He was going in a direction. He got a check. Okay. He's going in another direction. That's a big topic. I'll go into that maybe at another. That's another teaching. Being led, the Holy Spirit will lead you. But you're seeing guidance here. And here's the last one, is help with decisions. Acts chapter 15, I will not take time to discuss the whole chapter, is when they got the council together because the church did not know what to do with the fact that Gentiles, people who have non-Jewish background, were being saved. The initial Christians were all made up of Jewish disciples, and they thought that the only people that could be saved were Jewish people. And so the Lord had to use Peter to break, that's where Peter had that vision, and he had to break Peter out of that to go down to a group of a Roman centurion and his family and preach the gospel to them. And so the church is now in a quandary because they don't know what to do with the fact that it's blowing their minds that Gentiles, people who have had no heritage with God whatsoever, are now coming to salvation. And so they make an interesting statement here in Acts 15. It says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So finally, the church came to a decision. And really, if you read that whole chapter, you find that they went back to the scriptures and then they went by the witness of the Holy Spirit. So my point is, you're seeing the Holy Spirit's involvement throughout the early church. And the people say, well, that's the early church. There is no early and latter church. Actually, that's the beginning of the church. We're still in the church age. You understand that? So the church age did not stop after a certain time. It continued to go, and we're in it. And so this was the beginnings of the church, and you see them refer to the Holy Spirit a lot. And the reason they refer to him a lot is because they leaned on him a lot, and they needed his help. So when they came down to it, they said, boy, it just seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit to tell the Gentiles these things. So basically what they did was they allowed the Gentiles to come in, which was a good move. And the Holy Spirit went, yep, that's a good move. So he said it seemed good to both. So you see his involvement in decisions. Let me shift a little bit of gears here, because I want to discuss about 1, 2, 3, 4, about five things that the Holy Spirit works in our life. And the first one is one I think that people are familiar with, but a little bit confused about. And it's the fact that he convicts. John, the 16th chapter, verses 8 through 11, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, when he has come, now he is referring to the Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus does not call him it. He always refers to him as he. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, this is a passage referring to the Holy Spirit, and this is oftentimes where you'll hear people talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry. I've heard him referred to as he's the hound of heaven. You ever heard that one? He's just going to, man, it's like he's the shadowy figure that's going to track you down. And the idea of that word convicts, the word convicts comes with almost a feeling of, when we think of being convicted now or convicted of something, that's not a good thing. Oftentimes you hear people say, man, I sinned, I knew I sinned, and the Holy Spirit, man, he just convicted me, he just beat me up in this. That's not him. You know really what that is after becoming a believer, when you sin now, for one thing, you don't have to ask anybody. Did I sin? You know you did. Don't look innocent. Oh, did I sin? No, you know. In your heart, how many of you know sometimes when you have sinned and you just feel bad? And you just feel like, man, I feel so bad. I don't even want to come to church. Let me tell you something. When you sin, this is a good place to come. Don't avoid church. When you sin, this is, just come on in. Say, well, people will know. Not unless you tell them. And they don't want to hear you tell them, because then they got to tell something too. And so just come join the party. But here's the idea, guys. Listen. When we sin, after knowing the Lord, when we sin, it's our heart that condemns us. The Bible says in 1 John 5:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Listen, when you sin, the Holy Spirit's not condemning you. Actually, I'm going to show you, he's the one that helps you get back on track. When you sin, a lot of times, it's your own heart that just, ugh, you just feel bad. Well, if you think, oh man, that's the Lord, he is making me feel bad, I feel horrible, that is not his job. The Bible calls him a comforter and an encourager. He's the one. Let me tell you something. When I have sinned and have felt so horrible about it, after I've just told the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry. The Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a good verse. If you don't know any verse, memorize that one. That's a good one to memorize. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then if you're not careful, though, you'll find out, man, you're the one beating yourself up. And you're constantly beating yourself up. And after a while, you need to stop and say, Lord, if you have forgiven me, then I need to forgive myself. And the Holy Spirit will show you the way out. He will not keep dumping it on you. He does not play pile-on. You ever play pile-on when you were a kid? Somebody get in the middle of the ditch, everybody piles on top of them and crushes them. That's not His job. He does not play pile-on. He lifts and encourages. But here's what let's talk about what He does. He said, well, I thought you said He convicts of sin. He convicts the world of sin. The word convicts is the word that we actually would use to say convinces. He convinces the world, He convinces people who are away from God, that they are away from God, that they have sinned, and they feel bad. Now, you don't have to have a show of hands, but how many of you ever sat in church before you knew the Lord, and you see big people walk in church and feel nervous? They'll walk in church and, man, big, rough guys walk in church and get scared. Well, they're not scared of anybody here. You sense that conviction. You start preaching the gospel, and there's something on the inside of you that says, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with God. I'm not right. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's convincing you that you need God, but then He'll draw you to Jesus. So He convinces, I need God in my life. We give an altar call. People respond. Every week they respond. Why? Because we beat them? No, it's because they hear the gospel, and the gospel encourages people. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, people are praying, oh, you know, God, you know, I'm praying for my lost loved one. God, destroy their life. Lord, just pray, take them down. Lord, hey, whoa. Hang on, Sparky. And don't be praying that for me. How do we pray? Lord, that you would send someone across their path, a laborer across their path, who can share with them the good news. So the Holy Spirit will convict them that they're lost and they need God. He convinces the world. That's why I think sometimes preachers have thought, man, we got to preach hard. I had some lady wrote me one time. She was so mad at me because her lost loved ones came and she said I gave some water. I mean, she just ripped me. I wanted to write her back and go, well, it's no wonder they're not saved. But I did not. The pastoral side took over. And Alan's flesh got tamped down like it don't. Thank God for Joy and Wilma. Help me read all my stuff before I send it. We don't have to beat people up. The Holy Spirit will convict them. Convince them that they're lost and away from God and they need Him. But then it says, He convicts us of righteousness. Oh, this was good. He convinces us, because Jesus said, because I'm going to the Father. You know, when Jesus was around, you know, people loved being around Him. Because he didn't give them a sense of how horrible they were. He gave them a sense of how much God loved them. A sense of righteousness. He said, I'm going to the Father. You're not going to see me anymore. Righteousness means right standing with God. The Holy Spirit will begin to convince you that because of what Jesus has done, we now have right standing with God. So it's a holy... Have you ever come in... I'll just give you an example. How many of you ever come in here maybe during the worship time? You just enjoyed the worship and you're worshiping and you just sense, man, I'm right with God. I just feel like I have a peace with God. That's such a good thing. The Holy Spirit can convince you of that. You didn't have that before you made Jesus your Lord. You had it afterwards. Listen, before you made Jesus your Lord, you avoided church like the plague. Afterwards, we can't keep you away on a beautiful Wednesday night. So you come in. Why? Because there's a sense of, I now have right standing with God. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not trying to earn my way. I'm not trying to get God to love me. The Holy Spirit's letting me know, oh, you're part of the family. Jesus has done this for you. He who knew no sin was made sin on your behalf that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a good work. I remember before I knew the Lord, I remember I would lay in bed and I would just lay and I'd think and I'd worry and I'd think about everything that I used to do. And then I'd get concerned about if I died, if I was going to go to hell. I'm a young kid. And I'm laying awake thinking about that. I remember when I made Jesus my Lord, my worrying days were over. Man, I hit the pillow now and it's like, ow. You say, well, that's because you're tired and you're older. No. No. I started doing this in my 20s. Why? Because in my heart, I don't have to pray, God, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I know where I'm going. To depart, I'm going to depart and be with Christ. That's far better. Not worried about it. Not worried about it at all. I don't lie to sleep and go, oh, Jesus, if I die before I wake up, I hope I'm with you. No, he witnessed to me that I have right standing with God. There's a peace there. So that's a good feeling. Righteousness, sin, righteousness. And here's the last one of judgment. He convinces the world of judgment. Now, Jesus said, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, who's he talking about? He wasn't talking about Pontius Pilate. He was talking about Satan. Jesus refers to Satan as the ruler of this world. Long discussion. He gained access when Adam sinned. But Jesus refers to him. I think in John 12, is it John 12, 31? Jesus said, can you put that up, guys? You got that one? John 12, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So he convinces us that, and this is good news, that Satan has been defeated and we're no longer under his authority. Well, that's good news. That's a wonderful news. In fact, in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Man, we've been transferred, translated. We're out of Satan's kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. So he convinces us, sin that we need God, righteousness that we've been made right with God, and judgment that now that Satan has been judged. He is no longer our Lord. He's no longer can dictate to us. Don't be scared of Satan. I'm just so scared that Satan's going to do something. Satan, listen, no, you're not under his authority. He's not an authority in your life. And Jesus is your Lord. You're in a brand new kingdom. You're part of a brand new family. The Holy Spirit will continue to witness that to us. So those are some areas he convicts. Second thing is he teaches. He teaches, John 14, 26, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So he teaches God's word and God's plan in our lives. He uncovers or unveils. I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to have to move quickly. I'm going to read a passage in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 9 through 13. Now, this is I hear people quote 9 frequently. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. A lot of people stop right there. And they'll go, eye has not seen and ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared. That's great, but you've got to read verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, that's us, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, that's a lot to take in, but here's what the bottom line is. The Holy Spirit's role is when you're reading the Bible. Now, here's something people say. I don't understand the Bible. You hear people, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. It would help you to stop saying that. It would just help you to stop. Listen, in anything, if you have a child that comes in and they say, I can't do math. I'm horrible at math. I just can't do math. I'm going to flunk this test. I can't do math. If you're a good parent, you don't look at them and go, your mom's horrible in math too, so I guess you get it from her. Don't say that. That's not helping you. What you might say, teach your little ones to say, nope, you have the mind of Christ and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do this. And it'll just help you if you won't use your words against yourself. And when you sit down to read the Bible, don't keep saying, I don't get this, I don't understand this, I don't know this. You have the teacher living on the inside of you. And he can reveal things. So instead of saying, I can't, you can change that and say, thank you, Lord, that your Spirit teaches me all things. Thank you that I can learn. And listen, don't get caught up. If you read passages in the Bible and you don't understand them, don't worry about it. There's a lot in there I don't understand. And I'll read them and I'll go, thank you, Lord. You'll show me that one day. Hey, listen, there's a whole lot in there that you do know. So don't get caught up on what you don't know. If you read the whole chapter, so I only got one thing out of the whole chapter. Hey, that's good. Rejoice with that. You don't have to get it all. Just rejoice. And all of this is progressive. As you continue with the Lord, you'll find it just comes line upon line. You grow, you learn. This is a growing learning thing. Isn't that exciting that you don't have to stop learning once you get out of high school or college, that you can continue to grow and learn in wisdom for the rest of our life? I believe we'll continue to grow for the rest of eternity because we're not going to run out of God. He's never going to go, that's it, guys, I'm done. He is constantly... We'll never catch up with him. So he's a teacher, and he'll reveal. He'll reveal to you. Also, he brings things back to our remembrance. He brings things back. Ever been just sitting all of a sudden, the scripture comes up, or a song? You wake up. Anybody wake up with a song in the morning, or you just hear something. I woke up the other day. Just a song just rises up in my heart. He brings things to our remembrance. He'll bring certain situations. He'll bring messages. He'll bring words back. I've heard people say, I remember my Sunday school teacher saying this. And words will come up. Scriptures will come up. I'm praying about situations and driving down the road saying, Lord, what do I do about this situation? And I'm going to be praying about it. And all of a sudden, here comes a scripture that brings insight. Why? He brings things to our remembrance. He actually gives us supernatural recall. And that's a blessing. He has an amazing ability. He teaches, he convicts, he teaches, he helps us become fruitful. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. By yielding to the Holy Spirit, we begin to produce these qualities in our life. Now think about it. He's going to help us in all these areas. He's going to help us become more loving, more full of joy, more full of peace. He is not going to help us become selfish, sad, and stressed. We can do that on our own. He can help us begin to display the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. Why? He's always going to be guiding us in that direction. And if we yield to Him, He'll help us in that area. So He helps us become more fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is a wonderful thing. How about this one? He helps us walk free from fear. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7. Paul had told Timothy in verse 6, he said, you stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he says, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, that's good news. That the Holy Spirit who lives in us is not a spirit of fear. He's not causing torment. He is not causing affliction. He is not causing difficulty to come in your life. He's the one who helps you. That you have a spirit of power and you have a spirit of love and you have a spirit of a sound mind. If you think about it, fear impacts all of those. How many of you know think back to your school days, you can study and study and study for a test. And if you get too afraid, you'll freeze up. You ever hear people have what they call test anxiety? Man, they'll go in and they know the material. They sit down in front of tests and they freeze. And they go, I can't do this. And it limits their ability. You have people that talk about, well, I have to protect myself. They don't give, they don't commit, they don't do anything because they're so afraid of being hurt. And yet the Holy Spirit will help us learn how to walk in love, which is such a freedom. Because when you're not trying to protect everything in your life, it's a good way to live. And then how about a sound mind? Man, when you're in fear, fear will cause you to close off. Fear will limit your ability, and fear limits your clarity of thought. When your thoughts are unclear and scattered. But the Holy Spirit does not give us goofy thoughts. He gives us sound, disciplined thoughts. And He helps us. See, one of the ways we have to think about the Holy Spirit is He's a friend. He's someone who walks with us, who's someone who walks beside us. Jesus calls Him the Paracletos, which is a comforter. And it'd be good to think of the Holy Spirit as a friend. If you've never just said, Lord, thank you, that I have a friend. Someone who can help me, someone who's strong, someone who's powerful, someone who cares about me, someone who's leading me in the right direction. And that can make all the difference in my life. So he convicts, he teaches, he helps us become fruitful, he helps us walk free from fear, he empowers us. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. A lot of people have kind of done this with the Holy Spirit. I don't want the Holy Spirit in my life. And yet they're the very same people to say, I'm having such a hard time living this Christian life. Let me tell you that Jesus did not intend that the Christian life be such a struggle. He said it is a fight of faith, but he didn't make it this great impossibility. And one of the ways he helps us is he empowers us. He empowers us to live a Christian life. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, we'll talk a little bit about this next week. There's the Holy Spirit within and then the Holy Spirit upon, and they're actually two different things. People say, Alan, I was born again. I got all the Holy Spirit there is. No, you were born again. You were born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. But then there's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. There's a baptism, which means an immersion, an anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And that's to empower us for service. And that's a wonderful thing. And so it's not something to be afraid of. It's something to go, hey, listen, if I can get more help and more power, I want it. I had a 4-cylinder car when I moved to Texas. It was a Reliant K car. It had four cylinders, 110 horsepower. Stinking car was so weak that when I had to get on the freeway, I had to cut the air conditioner off and put my foot all the way to the floor. Anybody ever have a car like that? You know what I'm talking about. You have to cut the air conditioner off to get some extra juice because the air conditioner is sucking the juice out of that car. Man, I've got my foot in it and I'm trying to get on the freeway. I learned to pray in tongues right there, trying to get on the freeway, right? I finally made a decision. I said, dear Lord, I said, one day I'm going to have I will never go back to an underpowered car again. And I never have. You know what? Power is better than no power. Now I'll just ask you guys, if gas prices weren't an option, 8 cylinders or 4? Someone said 12. See, that's how it goes. Basically, don't fight the power. You need power in your life. Jesus told this to guys who had walked with him for 3 years. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. The Holy Spirit will empower you to live a Christian life. He will empower you to be an effective witness of the reality of Jesus. I sat in a Bible. It was a prayer meeting one day. And I sat beside a lady and Joy was working. I had a day off and I was sitting there. It was an afternoon Bible class. And I sat beside a lady and she just looked at me and just started telling me her life. And the fact that she was just absolutely tormented by anxiety and how difficult it had been. And it's just like this crushing oppression in her life. And I listened and the class hadn't started yet and I listened. And I remember I just nodded, and as I turned away, these words came up in my heart. Tell her she's going to be free today. And I went. There's a little bit of risk associated with that. And I remember I looked at her and said, I half-stepped it. I said, I just feel like you might get set free today. I'll never forget, she looked at me, she said, did the Lord tell you that? Yeah, he did. They did the class, and after class, they had a prayer time. And at the prayer time, she wasn't in my prayer group. We were in a prayer group. We were praying for one another. And all of a sudden, from across the room, you just heard her. She said, oh, I'm free. And the look on her face, boy, when oppression hits and when it lifts, I'll never forget this, the look on her face. She went, I'm free. And God had set her free from that crushing anxiety that had plagued her for a long time. He needed me to tell her ahead of time so she could believe that God could do something good in her life. You say, Alan, was that just a lucky call? No. That was the same Spirit that lives in you, that lives in me. But He empowered me and gave me a word. It really was a word of wisdom for this lady, that you're going to be set free today. I say, wow, can you just do that anytime? No, I can't. Can't do that anytime. It says He wills, but we become vessels and we become examples of the fact. And here's that we witness to a world that Jesus is real. He said, you'll receive power and you'll be witnesses. Guys, the idea, He didn't say you'll go witnessing. Some of you were Baptists, you used to do witnessing. I don't know what nights they used to do it, but people would avoid you when you came. Because people used to do witness. He didn't say you would do witnessing. He said you would be a witness. Amen. Your life would be a witness. He empowers you to live this Christian life, to be a witness for Jesus. And the last one, He empowers you to have a living hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a good friend we have. Someone who ministers hope to you. When you're sitting in there and it's dark and you just can't see anything good, He's the one whispering to your heart, you're going to come through. You're going to make it. He's the power of the Holy Spirit can bring a living hope on the inside of us. Would you bow your head with me as we pray? I'm going to ask, please, no one leave or move just for a moment, just out of honor and respect for God and respect for the people around you. But if you came this evening and said, Alan, in my heart, I know I'm away from God. Maybe I've never received Him, or maybe I just know that in my heart I'm not where I need to be. And I want to come back. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, or I want to come back to Him. I would like your prayers. Would you pray for me? I will do that. But I need you to do one thing for me. Would you just simply acknowledge that today? No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you stand up. But you acknowledge that by an uplifted hand. Say, Alan, would you pray for me? I need the Lord in my life. I need Him, or I need Him back in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands up all over. Yeah, I got you. Way in the back, way up at the top. Yes, way in the back. Wonderful. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to. You can do this. And I'm going to ask everyone to do this. We're going to do it out loud. Do it so you can hear yourself doing it. With the heart we believe, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, I pray for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Father, for those who have prayed it in times past, Father, I thank You that You continue to confirm in their hearts that they belong to You, that they've stepped out of darkness into Your marvelous light, and they truly are saved. What a blessing that is. We give You all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.